This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
And great to have you with us today. This opening half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boats, motorcycle, RV, whatever it may be, they will make sure that they take care of your insurance needs. They'll do everything they can to save you money. And as always, they do a terrific job of customer service, because that means everything to them. It's all at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. So we have Matt today, right?
We do. 115.
And then we have Neil. Right? We got Neil later today?
Correct.
Right. And then we have somebody out of the gate tomorrow?
Jim Jackson.
Oh, Jim Jackson. We'll talk a little. We'll talk pucks. Jim does a great job. Does a great job. Like talking to Jim. All right. So that's the lineup for today. It's going to be interesting to see where Matt starts. Whether he starts positive or he goes negative. I think Hassan Reddick may set the tone.
I think so, too. He was a little wound up about the Flyers I saw this morning, too.
Flyers?
Yeah, Torts said something. Something, I don't know. Something about not being about Philly, or I don't know. John Tortorella being upset about something means the sun rises.
All right, so let me look here. Let's see, John Tortorella. Okay, Flyers. So let's see, what did he say? Throws almost entire team under bus.
Again, check the date on that. That could be at any time.
Says 2 hours ago.
All right.
Blah, 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 blah. Things got dicey. Deadline. Team 3-7-2 since trading away Sean Walker. Since the deadline, Torts has tried scratching Captain Sean Couturier. That didn't work. He scratched veteran forward Cam Atkinson for 10 games. That didn't work. Alternated goalies. That didn't work. He said something negative about Philly or about...
I think he threw some of the team under the bus, that they weren't, it wasn't the way the Flyers play or something like that.
Okay. Well, no offense, you're probably right. All right. We will come back. We will hear the scorching commentary, the scathing commentary of Matt Cotrillo in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
You want a unique way to display your brand. You need a team of seasoned experts to work with. You want to reach customers who buy. You want NIL Game Changers, a versatile consulting agency powered by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents. NIL Game Changers will help you build powerful relationships with customers through compelling stories, with student athlete influencers at your leading edge. Finally, we'll equip you with the right media to drive your success home. NILGameChangers.org, building meaningful relationships with your customers.
All right, this half hour brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, and Sunbury. Go to PurdyInsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV. Customer service means everything to them because they want to make sure you're fully insured and save you money. All right. After an Easter, and that's exactly what I expected from him. Exactly. That kind of negativity, doing everything he can to ruin the show. Did he hang up on us, or did you hang up on him? I'm getting no answer. There he is, ladies and gentlemen, kids of all ages. Time to take a trip where suddenly the train tracks are going to get scorching hot. Matt Cotrillo.
Sorry about that. I pulled the Quez Watkins and dropped the ball. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, God. See, when he was with the Eagles, he could do no wrong. The second the revolving door sends him out, you get negative.
It's true. Have fun with them Steeler fans. Watch a guy drop the ball in the Super Bowl, fumble, create a third and two, and make it a fourth and seven. Yeah, yeah. That's how I remember him.
So who's going to rush the passer for you guys?
I would like to know the answer to that question myself, and that's where we're going to start today. Bryce Huff's a great signing, but listen, he can't do it all alone. And I know that you're already giving a lot of money to the defensive line, but guess what? That's always been your main philosophy, Howie Roseman. Now we're going completely backward on that after you overpaid Saquon Barkley, when that's something that you don't normally do either. Like, what are we doing here? I mean, it's one thing to go against your philosophy to try to change things up, but then there's another thing to do a complete 180. I mean, I have no idea what Howie Roseman is doing this offseason. Just with Hassan Reddick alone, you know that he wanted more money on his deal, and he outplayed it. He deserves to have more money. He certainly deserves that. You already paid Bryce Huff $51 million with his contract. But then you give Josh Sweat, now granted, he was great in 2022, but last year, guess what? Was a no-show. And Hassan Reddick still produced. It wasn't at what the numbers he put in 2022, but he was still one of the Eagles' best pass rushers. So it's a no-brainer. You'll give that extra $10 million and work on Hassan Reddick and let Josh Sweat walk, especially when he's going to be a free agent next year. So I have no idea what Howie Roseman is doing by trading Hassan Reddick away and giving all this money to Josh Sweat. I get Josh Sweat is a draft pick, but you know what? Again, this is the one Achilles heel to me with Howie Roseman is sometimes he bets on himself too much with trying to bring guys in that might be better than what he brought in. And let's face it, he has a very inconsistent drafting track record. And secondly, he gives too much of the benefit of the doubt to his draft picks because he's afraid to admit that, hey, you know what? I messed up. I'm sorry. It's time to move on. This has to be what's best for the Philadelphia Eagles. Those two moves, giving the extra $10 million to Josh Sweat, then trading away Hassan Reddick for picks that don't even help you until next season, and you have to make sure that Hassan Reddick hits some marks to get a second-round pick. Right now, it's just a third-round pick in 2025. Could be a second-round pick if Hassan Reddick plays 75% of the snaps and has this many sacks, whatever it is. That still doesn't affect you until next year. This is a guy that was a top producer, not only for the Eagles, but in the entire league. So I'm sorry. Howie Roseman completely dropped the ball on this one, and you're counting on a lot of guys that really didn't do a whole lot last year. I mean, granted, they're into their second and third years in the leagues, respectively, but still, you're banking on a lot to happen with those young guys and Nolan Smith and Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis. And I don't know. It's a huge risk here for the Eagles for a defense that already was a pretty bad unit in coming down the stretch and was a big reason why the Eagles lost six out of the last seven the way they did. So I have zero idea what Howie Roseman is doing this offseason. Absolute zero. They all seem like, now that I've kind of seen all the ducks come in a row a little bit as we get ready for the draft, these smell like panic moves to me, which basically is what we blame the head coach for doing by changing defensive coordinators midway through the season. You can't win this way. I don't care what kind of talent you have on one side of the ball or the other. You just can't win this way. So I have no clue what Howie Roseman is doing this offseason.
Oh, he's done?
Yes, I'm done. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Todd, can we confirm? I mean,
he's got to breathe sometime.
Right. Did you get that Easter gift I sent you? You know, that stack of paper bags?
Yes, I was running out. I needed a fresh supply, so I always appreciate that.
No problem. So, I'm not going to make any comment on what you said. You kind of covered it all there. What's next?
The next thing I had, so as you all are well aware, that I am probably the leader in the clubhouse of despising everything about the LSU, really the entire LSU athletic department, but especially the LSU women's basketball program. But
they all speak highly of you.
But I have to say, though, despite my feelings about Kim Mulkey, all these stories that are coming out about her, like, that are going after her, including this Washington Post story, you know, now listen, I did not read the story, so I do want to be fair about that. But from the reviews I've seen, is that I've seen one, obviously, that goes a lot against her, and then there's a second one that it was at least balanced reporting. So I have yet to read the actual report myself, but I'm just talking about just the parameters of taking an approach like this in a story like this. I mean, especially when the media's got a bad rep nowadays, I just don't think the story's really necessary. It's like, she's having issues with her family. She's had issues with past basketball players. Am I surprised? Not really. But do I necessarily care? No. So why do I have to worry about reading a 12-page story about this entire profile about her when it's just going to make her dig in her heels even more and cause unnecessary distractions to the current team? I mean, as far as we know, again, she is what she is. Angel Reese is what she is. But it seemed like that locker room was a pretty tight-knit group, and those girls played hard for Kim Mulkey, and they played hard last night in the loss to Iowa. So, and it's another discussion if you have something going on where she's being discriminatory against certain players for reasons X, Y, and Z. That's a totally different discussion to have. I'm just talking about, why do we have to report on the bad relationships she has with her family and with past players, and has nothing to do with the current team? Again, if there's something to do with the current team, current players, okay, once again, that's different. But just all these reports that are coming out about Kim Mulkey and her background and what she's like, I don't care. I'm not necessarily surprised, but bottom line is, I don't care. Why do we need to bother with this? And then she has more fuel to the fire for her side of things to keep being the person that she is. It's like you're just adding more to it. So I really just don't. I get the animosity toward the LSU women's basketball program. Again, I am not a big fan of the program, but this is overboard here. This is extremely overboard here, and it's getting tiring, to be honest with you.
Well, you don't have to read it. There are more stories about the story than I think people actually read the story, to be honest with you. I didn't read the story. I had no desire to read the story. You didn't read the story. And this is something that, look, in the world of journalism, and Todd, you can take it from here, you're always trying to look for something that you think is interesting that will get people to read. Is that fair, Todd?
Well, I don't understand why everybody's making a big deal because a major newspaper wrote a feature story on a coach that won the national championship last year. It's a feature story on Danny Hurley in the same newspaper. Just he cooperated, so it's a little more thorough and a little more interesting.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I didn't even know they wrote a story about Dan Hurley. He is as tough on his players. I mean, hey, I don't know if you either one of you guys have ever met Dan Hurley, have you?
No.
I mean, look, he's fine to talk to, but you also know that he is, you know, a tough-minded coach, and coaches a tough-minded practice. Now, I've never been to a practice, but I've talked to enough people who have been around him, and they know what kind of coach he is. Okay. Well, guess what? They're winning. It works. And I think it's an issue because she preemptively made it an issue. How about that?
I do agree with that. I 100% agree with that. There's no question there. There's a lot of things that program has brought upon themselves. No doubt about that.
I mean, she preemptively made it an issue by bringing it up in the press conference. You know, talking that she's going to sue and so forth. She pronounced the suit's name wrong, but we were all for the lawsuit there. What? No? Wrong? No? It wasn't him?
You know what? Then you also have the football coach that still thinks he's got a Southern accent now all of a sudden, so.
You just won't let it go. Just won't let it go. Maybe if you guys joined a conference.
Hey, like, you're preaching to the choir. I've wanted Notre Dame to join the Big Ten for the last couple of years now, but they won't because they continue to be stubborn as an independent, but we can have that conversation again another time.
Well, I'll say this. It was a relaxing opening half hour. Todd, you and I didn't really have to do much.
No, we usually don't.
One big deep breath and away he went. It's like listening to the suit talk about the Indy 500.
You do realize
Notre
Dame goes to a conference, Matt, when the leprechaun no longer sleeps on a golden bed.
Yeah, exactly. That's 100% correct.
Oh.
And I do know of Dan Hurley. Fun fact for you, Dan Hurley went to the same Catholic school in Jersey City, Hudson Catholic, as my dad. He graduated, I think, 3 years ahead of him. So I do know, I don't know him personally, but I do know of him, and a lot of my family, my uncle's from Hudson Catholic, too, did know of him, too, and his personality, the way he coaches, it's 100% accurate there. So I don't have a problem with that at all.
No, I mean, but he's tough-minded, but you can tell his player. I mean, they're winning. You can tell his players love him. It's not like you see, like, they won the national championship last year, and what happened was when it was over with, three guys went into the draft and so forth. Nobody transferred out. Nobody looked over and go, oh, can't believe this. Nobody.
Which is unusual for college sports today.
Well, look at Purdue. Who transfers out of Purdue? Right?
It's refreshing, isn't it?
I mean, now they had a couple transfers. I mean, Matt Harms transferred out, went to BYU, and there's one other player, which kind of shook everybody a little bit. But other than that, nobody transfers out of Purdue. Interesting. I mean, look at this show. You know, Kevin was here. He transferred out because, you know, he felt like he could make billions of dollars doing what he does now.
That is so accurate, isn't it?
Right? And, you know, and the only reason he left the show is because, you know, he just thought that this was the avenue to the land of milk and honey. And right now, he doesn't have a half cup of either.
And you and Sean went in the real life transfer portal, so I don't know why you're making fun of the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what the heck? Yeah, he transferred out. Somebody like want a shorter drive, really?
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You notice I never brought up the Yankees?
They are 5-0 now.
I know, but you notice I never brought it up?
You didn't poke the bear?
No, he was on such a negative roll. I didn't want to interrupt the flow. Say something positive, make him feel good about life, even though the Pirates have the same record as the Yankees. The best Pirates start, by the way, since 1983, 5-0. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for both athletes and businesses. Visit NILGameChangers.org to begin your journey. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at SunburyMotors.com. Hey, you know what? You're looking for interesting stories. People don't want to be the topic of stories. They also don't want to be the topic of rumors. Oh, well. And that's the, that's the issue. Now, when you're preemptively calling out the story before they've even started.
Okay.
Honestly, this would be a... If she wouldn't have said a word about it, I doubt anybody would have said two words about it. Because I read the story. It's basically... He was forced to kind of use her autobiography for most of it just because she wouldn't talk and not a lot of people would talk to him. And it wasn't... I mean, Kent Babb is a fantastic writer, and it wasn't a great story because he didn't get a lot of cooperation from people. But I mean, there wasn't anything that wasn't known before about or anything. She just didn't cooperate, and it didn't go well, and it kind of blew up because she brought it up last week.
Yeah. Now it's unlike the LA Times story, which the reporter had to retract part of it, right?
Well, I think they issued a correction, and then I see he apologized this morning.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
I can't believe an editor read that LA Times story and thought it was okay.
Yeah. I didn't read either one. I had no interest in reading either one. Just didn't. I mean, when Kim Mulkey played at Louisiana Tech, they played the Lady Lions. I actually have broadcast a Kim Mulkey game where she played point guard in my life, but that's been my only connection ever to being around her, and that was just from whatever distance we happened to be when she played.
I mean, there's 100 stories like that about college coaches. I mean, if you read it, she's no different than any other hard-charging, high-achieving person that you've ever read about. She doesn't get along with people sometimes. That's basically right. The extent of it, and you can see why. And she's a grudge holder. That's basically the two things you can take away from it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's something she has to work on, probably.
Yeah, well, you know what? That's... It was a great night for the women's game. Oh. Caitlin Clark hit 9 threes last night. The game changed when Angel Reese got hurt. I didn't see all of it. I saw probably a good portion of it. I thought Clark shot the ball great. She passed the ball beautifully. And they won. But again, instead of doing cheerleading and pom-pomming, which is like that's the ESPN broadcast, let's just talk about it as a basketball game, right? And in modern basketball, it is very hard to beat a team 2x2, which is what LSU was forced to do because they couldn't hit anything outside. So they were forced to win this game 2x2 while the other team has the ability to knock down a couple of threes. And it just changes everything in terms of the dynamics of the number of possessions needed to win a game like that. And that was LSU's big problem. Van Lith did not play well last night, which didn't help. Reese was playing great when she was completely healthy, and LSU was winning when she was completely healthy. But the bottom line is that in terms of today's basketball, you need to mix in just enough threes to win. And I was talking about Alabama yesterday. Alabama against UConn on the men's side on Saturday is going to need 15 threes to win. That's why I said to Mike DeCourcy, and Mike seemed to be going along with it. And that's just the way today's game is. And LSU was trying to win the game because it wasn't like they weren't attempting threes, but they weren't hitting any. So then they were forced for a period of time, like, hey, look, we need to score. So they were trying to score 2x2x2x2, and then maybe every once in a while a 1 and a 1. Meanwhile, Iowa, and in part because Clark hit 9 of them, they were able to hit threes. Marshall did, Martin did. They hit a couple of threes, and then Clark obviously hit 9. And that's just the formula for winning a game like that in today's game. And it's not like you go out, when Dick Girardi and I do a Penn State basketball game, we'll tell everybody in the pregame show, hey, look, to win this game, they're going to have to hit between 8 and a dozen threes. All right. Now, if they're playing, if they're playing Winthrop or even, when they played Morehead State, and Morehead State made the NCAA tournament, Morehead State won 25 games this year. But we didn't talk about how many threes Penn State needed to hit in those games. But when they get into a game like, for example, get into a game like Illinois, like, hey, you're going to have to hit at least 10 threes in this game to win. Right? The way it is, because it's hard to win games 2x2x2. Right? The coverage of what's going on with this is a little bit, some people are starting to really get turned off by it. You'll see the ratings will be great, but at the same time, when you watch the game and like listen to the game, you're like, ugh, okay, just slow down. Can you just do a basketball game? Can you just do the game? Put the pom-poms down. Do the game. All right. Tell me, why, what, how, what's going on here? Not every layup is an awesome and what a layup. That was it's a layup. I got it. Okay, I got it. It's like not every slam dunk is like, whoa. It's like, okay, some of them are like, okay, got it. All right. And I'll give you an example. There is an article today about Gino Auriemma doubling down on controversial remarks about Caitlin Clark. Okay. Well, you know what awful thing he said about Caitlin Clark? I mean, awful. Was that he wouldn't trade Paige Bueckers for anybody. Well, good God in heaven. Imagine looking at your own player and saying, you know what? I love you. I think you're the best. It's like, what the heck? I mean, that's how bad this is getting. And this is why, like, some people are like, what? I mean, I talked to a couple of people yesterday, and they're like, yeah. They're kind of getting sick of it. I mean, it's not turning them off from watching the game, but there's some people getting sick of it. Like, you know, come on. And you know, it's like something like that. I mean, oh my goodness, how could Gina Auriemma possibly say something that controversial? What? By looking and telling the media that how much he thinks the world of his player? That's his player. Of course he thinks the world of her. Right? I mean, I don't expect James Franklin to go out there and say, you know, you know what? I'd rather have Travion Henderson than Catron Allen and Nicholas Singleton. Really? No, I would never expect James in a million years to do that. James embodies loyalty. He looks over. He'd rather have his two guys, even though he thinks the other guy is really, really good. What's wrong with saying great things about your players and saying I wouldn't trade her for anybody? Well, good. Guess what? Right? Yeah, that's how you win games when you lose five players to injuries.
Wait till they find out that Gino doesn't think she's the greatest women's basketball player of all time either, probably.
he may not. And that's,
I would bet he thinks his own player is, Dina Taurasi.
I bet he thinks Diana Taurasi's better. Yeah. He would take Diana Taurasi. He would take Sue Bird. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, he'd take Maya Moore. Because guess what? They're his players. All right? It's not putting down somebody else. See, this is how absurd... This is starting to border on a level of absurdity that has people like sitting back going, what? If we don't go along with what everybody's talking about, it's like when I talked about her defense being eh, people go, oh, you can't say that. I said, yeah, I can. I can look at her as a basketball player. I've seen enough of them in my lifetime. Right? I mean, I act like I've never seen a lot of basketball players in my lifetime. So I can look at somebody and go, you know, love the shooting, love the passing defense, and kind of leaves me a little bit wanting. Okay, that's just called an honest opinion. I'm not putting anybody down. There's been a lot of basketball players in person in my lifetime. A lot of them. I can look at somebody and go, really great, really great, really great. Nah, it could be better there. Okay. What's wrong with that? What's wrong with treating somebody like a player instead of drooling? Oh, it's like, just slow down. Okay. Somebody did a Euro step last night. Look at that. I'm like going, okay, what? You want to know how many Euro steps I saw this year? I mean, like this year. Want to say how many Euro steps I saw last month? I mean, come on. Let's not make it like it's some clever thing that was just invented. It's like, you just sit back and go, what am I watching here? What am I listening to?
That was one plus about watching it at work last night. We had the sound down, so.
Yeah, it's just, I don't get it.
I just never figured out why she didn't take Van Leith off Caitlin Clark.
That was not a good move because obviously she was struggling last night. Like, and I think it affected how she played offense too because she didn't quite know what to do. When they put Johnson on her, see, there's certain things that do baffle me a little bit. Right? Johnson's a bigger player, quicker player. It doesn't mean that Caitlin Clark's not going to hit 9 threes. You can put stronger, quicker players on Steph Curry. And if Curry's hitting from 30 to 35 feet, which he has a habit to do, how are you going to stop it? It's really hard to do. I'm with you. That baffled me. And when Iowa goes man-to-man, I don't understand why they don't clear a side and have that person drive on her and draw fouls.
Yeah, that too.
I don't understand why you don't. Oh, hey, they're man-to-man. Boom. Who she got? All right. Clear aside and make her go one-on-one, right? You're going to score almost every time. And you may draw a foul or two. You know, then she'll complain, and then everybody will go, oh, how could you possibly do that to her? Like, okay. Well, like you hit her in the arm, and it's a foul. That also makes her work defensively. In other words, the energy she has to expend defensively now comes into play. And that's why I'm surprised that more teams don't do that. Now, those are NBA concepts. So I'm talking about NBA concepts, and that is and that kind of basketball, with all due respect, has no NBA concepts to it. Like, they take threes, but there's not a lot of NBA concepts out there. And that's an NBA concept. Clear a side, create a matchup, stop it. Okay. You know, you can't do that every time, but you can do that a few times. Right? And make them change. You know, in other words, now you make them change. Now they'll probably change to a zone, right? Because they need to cover up a mediocre defensive player. Okay. I got it. All right. I mean, believe me, I've seen a lot of mediocre defensive players covered up for in my career. Like, okay. And that's part of coaching. And I've given Lisa Bluter credit. She's covered it up for the most part. But when they were going man-to-man last night, boom. Okay, clear a side and have that player go one-on-one with her and see if she can handle it. Now, she may go out and handle it beautifully, slap the ball away, maybe get a block shot, something, create something, whatever. But I try it a few times just to get her to play. Okay, just to do it. Especially if you're a team that doesn't do it that often, and it's something they're not used to seeing, right? It's, you know, you've got time. That's one thing about, like, for example, let's take between now and what, Friday night, you have time to put something like that in. And I agree with you. That was not the right matchup last night. She did not do it. You know, she struggled. Talk about Van Lith.
She couldn't. I mean, how many times did Clark turn the corner last night on her? It wasn't even the shooting. It was, she just couldn't stay in front of her.
And Clark is quick to the bucket. She's very quick. I'm talking like making her, no, which make her expend energy defending. And that's something that that with Purdue is difficult to do with Edie. Because the idea is, if you can spread the floor out and they're man-to-man, can you bring him out to the top of the key? And he doesn't usually take the bait and go out that far. Right? He gets out to about the foul line, he stops. That's why if you have a big man that can hit a three-point shot, right, that opens up the door. And it's going to be interesting to see Burns against Edie and how that plays out. They list Burns at 6'9". I think Burns is 6'7", to be honest with you.
I think that's been the big thing on social media this week, is the NFL scout people trying to think, imagining him in pass pro, and that's what, right, that seems to be the consensus, is he's more a 6'7" than he is a 6'9".
Right. And again, you know, Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, right? Penn State's Ross Travis, they all transitioned to tight ends. Gates did not play college football at Kent State. And obviously Travis didn't either, but they made it into the NFL as tight ends. Gates is on the verge of getting into the Hall of Fame. But like, you know, take Zach Edey, right? Now, what am I talking about yesterday with Mike? I'm talking about how Edey has, you know, everybody ends up developing a habit and they get away with it, and then somebody figures out what the habit is, and Ohio State figured it out that, you know, Edie usually, he'll, you know, if it's a catch and shoot, he'll catch and he'll shoot it. So he doesn't make himself smaller by trying to dribble himself into a spot, right? But when he has to make a move with the ball, he now has a tendency to drop the ball down by his hip, and that's why you're seeing more balls get slapped away from him in games. And you notice maybe the last couple of games, Todd, how many times the ball actually got slapped away from Edie.
Well, I have, just because that's, as a former big man myself, my high school coach used to preach that constantly about keeping your ball high. So I always look at that with big men, and yeah, right, he does do that a lot.
Right. He's developed a habit of putting on his hip. So if I'm allowed to say that he's developed that habit, watch for it as a fan, why am I not allowed to say she's a mediocre defender? I mean, I just look at people as basketball players. I mean, sorry. If you want to play basketball, we'll talk about all the great things you do, and we'll talk about a couple things you need to be better at. You need to be better in terms of getting a floater. You need to be better at defending. Okay, well, nothing wrong with that. I didn't say she wasn't great. She's a great player. She's a great player. But, like, okay, but I have the ability to look at somebody and go, hey, you know what, guess what? Okay? All right? You got to work around a couple things. Just like with Edie, he's got to work around that. No question. He has to work around that. If I can sit there and talk about Fletcher Lawyer defensively, who's a phenomenal shooter with great range, but Fletcher Lawyer is at times a real liability defensively. He struggles on the defensive end. Well, what's, you know, what I'm allowed to do that, but I can't say that person's an defender?
Fletcher doesn't have a State Farm commercial.
Well, like a good neighbor, let's take a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
One of the issues they found in Albany, and this has nothing to do with the teams, but I guess they were telling the reporters that they had a limited amount of time at the arena, and they were told to leave the arena before midnight and so forth, and they need access to do their jobs. You're trying to promote something that, you know, that still needs a lot of promoting at this point. And I don't quite understand what they're doing with this. I mean, that's the NCAA's job. Now, the NCAA, by the way, has also announced, just so you know, who the officials are for the men's Final Four. I've got it here, as a matter of fact. And I do have it. There's 11 that have been announced. Let's see. Because it was... I know Paul Sells is one of them. Courtney Green is another one. And I'm happy for both of them. Because I think both of them have, in time, become really good officials. Great demeanor. Patrick Adams, Jeffrey Anderson. You've heard me praise Jeffrey a number of times on the broadcast. Roger Ayers, Courtney Green, Ron Gruber. He teed up Lamar once in Atlantic City. I never forgot that. Keith Kimball, Kip Kissinger, Terry Oglesby, Marcus Pettigrew, Michael Reed, and Paul Seltz are the 11. Nine will work on the floor. Two others will end up in the as the alternate on the games. So those are the final four officials for Phoenix. By the way, there was a no-hitter last night in the majors as Ronel Blanco threw it.